Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word today. I have an exciting message for you, and it's called, What Would You Do If You Knew You Could Not Fail? So we're going to start out this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, we just come to you today. We lift our lives up to you. We thank you, God, that you are the dream launcher. You are the author of all success. So, Father, today we want to learn more about you, about your version of success, and what God's word, your word, has to say. So, Father, just bless this time together. I pray that every person that is listening to the sound of my voice will have needs met today, that they will be encouraged. And, God, I thank you that you have planted a dream in the heart and the mind of every person. And we thank you, God, that you reveal your plan and your will to us in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first of all, I've got some very exciting news for you this morning. You know, I often hear people say, I don't know if God can really use me. My life's been a mess. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've had a lot of failures. And the good news this morning is you, if that is you, you are exactly who God's looking for. He is not looking for those that have it all together, that have reached perfection. But number one, there really aren't any people that fit that category. But he is looking for willing vessels. He is simply looking for people that say, God, take me as I am and use me. And man, once you say that, that's all he needs to begin doing great and mighty things with you, in you, and through you. And John 15:16 confirms this. Because, listen to this, he says, you are chosen and ordained by Christ to bear fruit. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice today, that means you have been chosen by God and that you are ordained by Christ to go and bear fruit. And so that settles the one issue that I hear all the time, is that I'm not qualified, I don't know enough, I've made too many mistakes. God says that he's already chosen us, and he has already ordained us to go out into the world and to bear fruit. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I've appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Listen to this, guys. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That is Jesus talking to us, and he is saying to us, you know, many times we pray and we're asking God to do something or give us something or meet a need or solve a problem, and he simply says in this, in John 15:16, Jesus says, I've chosen you, I've appointed you to go. I've appointed you to go, not to sit and wait, but to go and bear fruit. Go out and do that, and then the Father will give you what you ask in my name. So we know that one of the prerequisites for having prayers answered is that we need to go and bear. We need to go and bear fruit. We need to go and do whatever he's asked you to do. So it may be something very, very simple that he's asking you to do. It may be something that you think is way beyond your ability. It may be something that you feel very unqualified for. All Jesus is saying is go. You go, and he will cause us to bear the fruit. So it's just our responsibility to get busy about God's business, and then he'll take care of ours. The next thing that God showed me in all of this is that he and I are partners. You and Jesus Christ are partners in whatever you're doing, as long as it is pure, it is of good report, and it is something that is worthy. God, Jesus says he will partner with us. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So First John 4:14 says, we are in him, and he is in us. So the next thing I want you to know is he is in you. He is already at work in you and in your life to fulfill what he has planned and purposed for you. So you're not doing this by yourself. You're not doing whatever God's asking you to do in your own strength, because if we try to do it in our own power, we will fail. But we are doing it with him, in him, and through him. And let me say a little bit about failure today. You know what? Failure is an event, not a person. We all have failures in life. And if we get hung up on what we've not done or what hasn't happened or what didn't go right or what prayer we think didn't get answered, you know, sometimes God's answer to prayer is no. You know, we think an answer to prayer has always got to be yes, and we get what we want. But a lot of times, you know what? It's like a parent who knows something's not good for their child. Have you ever had a child ask your child ask you for something and you knew it wasn't good for them? Because you've lived longer and you knew the consequences of that. Our God sees the whole picture of our life. And so sometimes when a prayer doesn't get answered the way we thought it should, He's saying no because there's a reason, there's a preordained plan and purpose for a reason why that would not have been ultimately beneficial or would not have ultimately worked out. So we have to remember that He has already given us everything we need to succeed. And 2 Peter 1 and 3 says He's given us everything, everything pertaining to life and to godliness. So we got to thank Him. Every morning, get up and begin to thank Him. I thank You, God, that I'm chosen and I'm ordained by You to bear fruit, according to John 15:16. I thank You that You and I are partners, according to 1 John 4:14. I thank You that You've already given me everything I need to succeed, according to 2 Peter 1 and 3. And then say, I thank You that Your grace is sufficient to fulfill Your plan in my life, because 2 Corinthians 13 says His grace is sufficient for you. The next thing that is so exciting, and I get this visual sometimes, because you know what? We need people cheering us on. Don't we need to be cheered for, rooted for? You know, have you ever been in the middle of something and you thought, man, if somebody doesn't pat me on the back quick, you know? Have you ever been in the middle of something and you're thinking, wow, I'm overcoming my obstacles and I'm doing great? And, you know, sometimes people in our lives do not pat us back. Sometimes the people that we're counting on to support us and to be there for us fail us, and they let us down. You know, have you ever been so excited about something and you went and shared it with a friend or family member and they shot you down? It happens. It happens every day. But listen to this. Jesus Himself is cheering for you. Jesus Himself is rooting for you. He's the one that's patting you on the back. Luke 22:32 says that Jesus Himself is praying that our faith may not fail. So I want you to get a picture of this. Jesus Himself is watching you, and He is praying. He is interceding on your behalf to the Father. And He is cheering you on, and He is going, come on, come on, you can do it. Come on, I know you can overcome this. Come on, girl, come on, guy, you've got it in you to do it. And He is praying to the Heavenly Father that our faith may not fail. And when you know that Jesus is cheering you on and Jesus is rooting you on, I'm telling you, the world can let you down. Parents can disappoint. Friends can disappoint. But I'm telling you, Jesus never disappoints, because the Word says He is praying for us Himself. That gives me so much encouragement, guys, because so many times in life, you know, you can feel alone in what you're doing, and especially when God gives you a radical call that kind of takes you out of your comfort zone, and that's usually the way God's call is. It's rarely ever comfortable or normal or something that makes a lot of common sense. And sometimes when God puts you on a path to do something and it's out of the comfort zone or out of your norm, people have a very hard time understanding it. So when I am at that point, I will remind myself that Jesus is cheering for me. Jesus is praying for me. Jesus is rooting me on. So I want you to know God is the Dream Launcher. I'm writing a book right now, and the title of it is The Dream Launcher. You know, God gives us a vision, and then He gives us provision for that vision. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon the tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. So we're supposed to write the vision down. And if you're in the marketplace, you know, anytime you've gone to a seminar, a success seminar, they tell you to write your goals down. But only 2% of the population have written goals, have a written plan, have a written vision for their life. Only 2%. And did you know that statistically only 2% of the population ever really succeeds wildly in reaching their goals? I wonder why the same 2%, isn't that interesting? I'm sure it's the same 2% that wrote their goals down and kept them in front of their face. So I want to share with you today, as we begin to wind things down, I want to share something with you that I think is going to really stick with you. This is something that God showed me last year. And I was praying about this big dream that God has given me, this vision that God's given me. You know, he's given me a vision for a television show called His Perspective, because it's not about a view, it's not about an opinion, it's about what God has to say about the hot topics of the day. And it's a talk show for Christian women. We talk about the hot topics of the day. So he's given me this vision, and really all we're waiting on is the provision. We need money, of course, to get it on the air. So I'm seeing this vision. He's shown me arenas. He's shown me women's conferences that are just way bigger than anything that I could make happen. And so I was praying about that, and I was like, God, you know, this vision you've given me is so big that it scares me. And he said to me this very clearly. He said, a dream is a photograph that I've imprinted upon your mind, but it must be developed. And so I wrote that down very quickly, and I began to ponder on that. A dream is a photograph that God imprints upon your mind, but it must be developed. So I went online and I began to research what it took to develop a photograph. Now listen, in our world everything is electronic, and we just, you know, everything is done on our phones, and we can have a picture in an instant. But what did people do before that? What was the process of developing a photograph? So listen to this. You are going to be amazed at what God showed me. Okay, first of all, in developing a photograph, an image is taken. So the first thing you get is you get the image in your mind of what God is showing you that he has for you and what he wants you to do. Second, in developing a photograph, prints are developed by shining a light through a negative in a dark room. To bring the negative, light, and paper together, an enlarger is required. And creating colored prints requires, listen to this, guys, working in total darkness. The paper spends some time in the developer before the image appears clearly on the paper. The image is the dream. God is the enlarger. The developer is the situation or situations in our lives that bring the dream that has been lying dormant in our hearts to the forefront. God shines his light through the negative circumstances and develops the dream in the dark room of our lives. And that's what God showed me last year. And I'm telling you what, guys, I was in the middle last year of one of the most difficult times of my life. When God showed me this vision, and it seemed impossible, and it seemed like it certainly wasn't coming at a good time, but yet he showed me that there's the development process that we go through, and oftentimes it's in the dark times of our lives when things don't seem to be working and when our best plans have fallen through, that the dream is birthed in our mind. God, the enlarger, comes alongside us and says, come on. You can do all things through me because I'm going to strengthen you. And he comes alongside us and he says, listen, you and I are partners. I've chosen you and ordained you to bear fruit. I've given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness, and my grace is sufficient to fulfill the mission. I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering you on. I'm praying for you every day that your faith may not fail. God, the launcher of our dreams, gives us the vision and then comes in as the enlarger. And he develops this dream and brings it to life. So if you feel today like you're in a dark room or in a dark place, if you have negative circumstances going on in your life, know that God, the enlarger, is developing something beautiful in you. And I thought that it was fascinating that the more color the photograph has, in the end, the longer it spends in the dark room. Think about that. The brighter the color of that photograph, the longer it has to stay in the solution and be impacted by the enlarger in that dark room. So I say this to you to encourage you today. Don't just look at what's happening in your life with your eyes to reflect, because there's so much more. One of my main prayers these days is, Lord, let me see through eyes of the spirit and not through eyes of the flesh. Let me see my circumstances the way you view them. Let me see people in my life the way you see them. Let me see, because many times people hurt us, things happen, negativity, and all we can see is through the eyes of our pain or through the eyes of our disappointment or through the eyes of our expectation that we had of that person or that situation. And God says, you know what, I want to show you a different way to look at things. I'm going to show you a way to look through the eyes of my spirit that lives within you. It's time, guys, to forget what lies behind. It's time to forget about the past, the pains of the past. It's time to move forward into the future that God has for us. Philippians 3:13-14 tells us to forget what lies behind and press on toward the high calling. If it hasn't gone well in the past, if you've had some failures in the past, if you've had some disappointments, forget what lies behind. Listen, we learn the lessons we need to learn, and then we move forward. The enemy of your soul wants to beat you up black and blue over what you didn't do, over what you didn't accomplish, over the mistakes that you've made. But that is strictly, God never does that. He says the minute you ask for forgiveness, he throws your sins away as far as the east is from the west to remember them no more. He is not the accuser of the brethren. He comes to correct and reprove so that we can move forward. There's an enemy out there that wants to beat you up and make you think that there is no way you're ever going to change. There is no way your life's going to get better, because you're going to have to pay for what you did, and you're going to be punished. And you know what, guys? Sometimes there are consequences. But I'm telling you now, the God who created you knew before you ever did what you did that it was going to happen. He knew it before it ever happened. Or what was done to you by someone else, he knew that was going to happen. He's already made a provision. He's already made a plan. And I believe that those things that happen to us in life that are negative or disappointing or may sometimes even feel devastating, I absolutely believe that if we stay vitally connected to him, And the word of God says that my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And I pray that prayer every day. God, I only hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger, I'm not following. I'm not following that negative voice that says how many mistakes I've made. I'm not following that negative voice that says, the disappointments and the failures of my life. I'm not following that voice. I'm following the voice that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest and refreshing for your soul. That's who I'm listening to. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So today, build up your faith by getting into God's word and find out what he has to say about your specific situation. He will give you a word. If you're on the call today and you're thinking, I've never heard God's voice, I wouldn't even know what it sounded like if he spoke to me, here's what I'm going to say to you right now. Begin to ask him to speak and to make it clear that it's him. I will promise you now, he is waiting for you to make that request. He will speak to you in this still, small voice. He will speak to you through his word, and he will speak to you through other people that are inspired by God to share a message of hope like me, like Dana Davin. And that's why I do this. 9:00, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we are going back to 9:00, and we are in this together, guys. You are not alone. And he who began a good work in you will complete it. So you can rest in that today that he who began a good work in you will complete it. You don't have to do this in your own strength. You don't have to do anything in your own power. It's not in how good you are, how smart you are, how talented you are. It's all about reaching up and reaching out and saying, God, use me. Take who I am, even if it's a mess right now. Just take me, Lord God, and take my mess and make it my message. Take my test and make it my testimony. And I'm telling you now, your life will be radically changed, and you will never be the same again. So God is in the midst of every single thing in your life. Watch for him. Seek him. Well, he may be found, and I'm telling you, he will show himself faithful in your life.